Okay, so,
go on,
as I mentioned, the last amud and a little bit of the first parak of Zohar is very, very halacha lemaaseh, and that's why if you open up your a tour to the beginning of Hilchot Shabbat, literally the second, third, and fourth siman in Hilchot Shabbat are about this amud. The first one is not. The first one is a generic introduction to like Oneg Shabbos and things like that. But Simin Reish Mem Gimel, Reish Mem Dalet, and Reish Mem Hey are about our Gemara. And you're like, what? It's that fundamental? It's that important? Yes, it's that important. Hard? Absolutely. So I'm going to try to get through much of it as we can. Okay, so before we begin going through the Tosfos, let me just read you the Mishnah Brura Aleph on the Siman, because he offers you an introduction to these halachot, which is might make things a little bit clearer, okay? He quotes it, it's really from the Ber Heitev. So he says, Lo yaskir, da, shloshah chilukim hem. There are three distinctions that you must keep in mind. Echad hu arisut. What is arisut? Since you started reading Tosfos, what is arisut?
Sharecropper.
What is a sharecropper?
Someone who... partners with them.
Your partners in the actual produce of that which you are renting. Right? So, echad hu arisut shesocher le'in yudi shiasem l'acha b'tzadeh v'merchat v'ravachim o perot yachloku. It's a form of rental, but the way the rental works is that I rent the property to Ephraim, but instead of Ephraim paying me, right, Ephraim does all the work, but we split the profits. Right, that's what arisut is, right? Where I give you the right to use my property, and you work, and my payment, what I get in the rental is a percentage of the product, and what you get for having worked is a percentage of the product, even though it's not your property, right? That's arisut. That's what it means to share crop. Okay. Hasheni hu shchirut. The second term is rental. What is rental?
Rental.
You want a rental? Distinguish it now from shchirut. From arisut.
You get full profit from the. You get full produce from the field.
Who's you?
You're the renter.
The renter gets full produce, and what does the owner get?
The money.
What money?
For that the renter is giving
a set amount. Thank you.
Yeah.
Not the. You have to be precise here. That's the whole point.
No.
Understand. The reason this is confusing
right.
is because you're not being precise, and that's the whole point.
Right.
Right. The reason this is confusing is because there are multiple economic models that are at play, which each are distinct in Hilchot Shabbat.
Right.
Right. In general, but for Hilchot Shabbat, the differences are relevant. They're salient differences. Hasheni uschirut. Sheino Yehudi notel kol arifachim. The non-Jew takes all profit, o apirot, or fruit, or whatever, v'notein l'Yisrael avur sadeh u'merchatzot davar katzuv l'chol shana, and pays a set amount, meaning what we call in English a rental. Right, I do whatever I want in my house. Right, I rent a storefront. I do whatever I want in the storefront, and I pay you X amount of money, not a percentage of my profit, but
right, let's say $1,500.
Whatever it is, right?
They're trying to make an arisut a rental.
No. Schirut is rental. Arisut is sharecropping. The difference is schirut is the tenant pays rent to the landlord. And the landlord has no say, no involvement, no profit from what happens in the rental for the duration of the rental. That's a normal rental, right? That's a rental, right? Right? You rent, if you rent your house, right? You pay $1,500 a month, and then you do whatever you want in your house. You live in your house, you have a business in your house. It doesn't matter if you make $5, no bucks, $1,000,000 a month, it makes no difference. You pay $1,500 and you have full rights. That's rental. Right? Arisut is sharecropping, is you don't have the money to pay me, right? So what do? You say, look, I'm renting a storefront from you, and instead of me paying you a set $1,500, right, it's a risk. Right, it's a risk, because if you have a, right, we do it, let's say we do it, we can do it by, let's say, percentage, right? If I make five, right, I get you say, I'll pay you 25% in rental, right? So if you make $1 million, that works out well for me. I make $250,000. If you make $5, right, then I've given you my property for a month for how much money?
5% of $5?
25% of $5, the way I'm asking it. It's $1.25. Okay, good. That's two. Hashnei chilukim elu mutarim b'sadeh legamrei. Now he says to rent a field like this on Shabbat is permitted in either model. Uvemerchat rak midina. But by a bathhouse, that's our Gemara, it is only mutter on the level of Medina, meaning Nishkar Shabbat, in terms of benefit from work on Shabbat. De'eno Yehudia data de'nafshe avid, because we assume from a halachic perspective that the non-Jew is not considered working for the Jew, he's working for himself. Why is that true in the first two models?
In Arisa.
So let's just explain the basic principles, then we'll come back to the Gemara. Well, why is Shirut obviously mutter from Meikaradin, because the non-Jew is working for himself? Why is that true of a rental?
Because he's getting all the profits.
Yeah, because he's getting all the profits. That wasn't complicated, right? Why by Arisut is it also considered Adaita Din Afshe Avid?
Because the more he, more produce.
Correct.
He makes,
even though it's true that the Jew benefits, that's not halachically relevant, Meikaradin.
He still gets more and the more.
Right, I mean, he's working as hard as he's working
so he could
for his own benefit. The fact that the Jew benefits is true, but what we care about is what motivates his, the effort he exerts on Shabbat, and when he gets, when he's paid by percentage, whatever effort he puts in is for himself. Yes?
Mm-hmm.
Right? That makes sense? Yosef?
Just trying to think now. Can you repeat what
Don't said? Write notes. Put down your pen, because when you write your notes, your hand works and your brain shuts off. Right? So look at me.
Wait,
Rebbe. Right? Why is sharecropping, right, considered Mikaradin, that the balab, that the worker is working for himself, even though the Jew is making money?
He's doing it for himself.
Why?
The piece that's being given to the Jews only for the sake of having the land.
That doesn't make it for himself. That, right? Again.
Because he wants the food. He wants whatever he's harvesting for himself.
Because he wants to be as successful as possible. Because he gets it by percentage.
Wait, but
that's the point. Right, the point is percent. Right, the point is that the non-Jew is working for himself. The fact that the Jew gets paid is true, but that's not why he's exerting the effort that he does. Understand? Okay. Ella shechachamim asru elu ashnei chilukim b'merchas mishum marat ayin. But we don't allow a Jew to rent out a bathhouse in such a situation. Why?
A Jew to rent out a bathhouse?
To rent out a bathhouse.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Right? Why?
Because Kar al Shemo.
Mivin Asian, he created al Shemo. The Avol Chashdosha Oseb Bishlichudo. Because what are you allowed to do? What are you not allowed to do on Shabbat? Mi'karadin. You can have a non-Jew working on his own accord in property that he's rented from you, but you can have him
work on your,
be your manager.
But
right. But the problem was that a merchatz was normally not rented out. The normal arrangement was that the Jew would own it and hire a manager. And therefore, even if in a particular case he didn't hire a manager, but he rented it out, one looks at Hamish a bakery and says, Nachum sold Hamish a bakery or rented out Hamish a bakery to the guy. He says,
so he can just run a business.
It's still Nachum's bakery.
Yeah, Hamish a bakery is probably a Jewish bakery with a non-Jewish manager. And therefore, if it's open on Shabbos, that's a problem. Okay? Now, we haven't gotten there yet, but halacha is a very interesting solution here, right? Now, if the problem is Marat Ayin, namely that everyone will look at it and say that is a Jewish owned property and the non-Jewish is a manager, so, but Mikaradin it's mutter, right? On the level of actual work on Shabbat,
because there's no Ma'aris,
right? We consider the non-Jew to be working on his own behalf. So what halacha could you come up with a case where you would actually be allowed to have a Jew rent out his bathhouse?
To a non-Jew.
To a non-Jew. Tell me.
If he publicizes it.
So one is if it becomes public, right? Good. So that's one of the issues that Allah knows halacha. What if it's a long term? It's so long term that it becomes known, right? Not like a year, but like 50 years, right? The other one is a very clever case the post can come up with, which is what if the Jew buys it off a non-Jew and then quickly rents it out to a different non-Jew. So now nobody knows that it's the Jew's. Right, meaning, as far as anyone remembers, it was Chris's, and now it's rented out to Jesus, right? If I can just keep picking more non-Jewish names, right?
Those are the archetypal non-Jewish names
chosen. Remember the ones that have Christian... it could be Muhammad, I don't care, whatever. It makes sense.
Remember you're renting it to Peter the Great?
Yeah, Pete.
Good. Peter.
You get it?
Because there was a Baal Tosef named Rabbeinu Peter.
Stewie,
right. It's not totally clever. His name is Peter, or it's from like, you know, like patron, right? Whether it means more like father, like, you know, or the Yiddish Vetter, you know, which is uncle. Mm-hmm. They probably didn't mean that because, you know, the Baal Tosef didn't speak Yiddish. heresy, mamish. They didn't speak. Yeah, okay. Achulucha shlishit. The third category is kablanut. What is kablanut? Dahainu, I was about to read it, you don't have to guess. Dahainu, shehu kola rivachim li Yisrael. That means all profit goes to the Jew. Rak she Yisrael notein le yudu davar katsu l'chol shana avor pe'ulato. But the Jew pays, this is a manager essentially, right? Mm-hmm. All profit goes to the Jew, and I pay you to manage my property, right? That's essentially kablanut. Zeu vaday asur midina b'merchatz. That's usur. That's called having a non-Jewish manager, right, for a Jewish business. In that case, the non-Jew is the messenger of the Jew to work on Shabbat, which is usur. Yisrael nene mimelacha b'Shabbat, and the Jew is now benefiting from malach on Shabbat.
Yep.
And now there's a problem. Why? Because the non-Jew is getting paid a flat rate. If he doesn't work on Shabbat, he still gets paid. But the Jew loses out, which means the work being done on Shabbat
is for the Jew.
Okay. But now he adds an important halacha, which you have to keep in mind, and this will be clear as we read this sugya, right? Sugya, if we want to, you know, be very precise.
Sugya,
you know, is that obviously the distinction in the Gemara is in lav dafka, right? When the Gemara says it's about sadeh versus merchatz, that's not what it means. It means those things that are normally rented and those things that are normally retained by the Jew and managed.
More like a restaurant.
No, meaning whatever happens to be at a given time.
Right.
Right? Meaning if Jews suddenly went into the we're going to buy up bathhouses and rent them out business, right? That was the Jewish business. And everybody knew that, yes, Shlaima Yankel's bathhouse is now rented out to
Christopher.
Whatever, you don't like that name. Christine. Right. Never. Right? I'm very wide ranging in the names I'm picking here.
Crystal.
Whatever. You know?
The Christ.
What?
Christoph.
Fine. It's rented out to the Goy Gomer.
No.
Maishi. Like, what do you want me to say? Right?
Why can't it be like the Aramaic names? Like, what's
Muhammad.
Fine. It's Titus.
Titus.
Nebuchadnezzar. Whatever. I don't know.
Speak so to
Ishnu.
What?
Speak so to
whatever, I don't know.
Really known.
Ishnu was like the thing before.
I'm going to create a list of pre-approved guy names by Prime.
Yes, exactly. Pre-approved. You know, Sennacherib. Sennacherib. In English, it is Sennacherib. Yes. You know, we come up with certain names, you know, that only goyim have.
Yeah.
Except when Jews have it. Like, whatever.
Oh, like Jan.
Luke, like
the
Joseph.
Gemara's archetypal non-Jewish name.
Oh, I know a Tyler.
Yeah, Tyler.
I know a Tyler.
Mason.
Yeah, fine. Right?
Like Sven?
North.
Sven? I know somebody who's
isn't
cool.
that the reindeer from
Northwest?
It's a Dutch name. Sven.
It's be yeah, it's the reindeer from
what?
Frozen. Because Frozen was a Dutch movie.
It's be like originally named
Dutch. It's an American movie.
Northwest.
The
you know Northwest.
Language
yeah,
and the
unfortunately, yeah. I remember that. I heard that in the news. I'm like, what?
It's Dutch.
What their name is that? Anyways. Okay, so he says Hashneich Yelukim Rishonim Mutar VaChalokash Lashid Asur. The call at Teres Chirut Dekan Hainishol Maskiro Derech Havla'a Shuz Maskiro Derech Havla'im Amorachol. And then he adds one more important thing that you guys must keep in mind, which is that even in the case where it is permitted to rent out the property, it must be done through a method known as Havla'a. What is Havla'a?
It's a good question.
What is Havla'a? Yitz. In the middle of share. If you're going to be on the phone, you know. What's Havla'a? Or Havla'a? It's like I say it in yeshiva, it doesn't help you. Right? What is it? So the halacha is that even when it is permitted to have a non-Jew work on your behalf or whatever the case may be, you cannot hire him by day. Right? You can't be paid by day. Because then you're actually paying or being paid for work done on Shabbat. Right, even those must be done by Havla'a, meaning...
But if it's like a contractor who's paid
by no, so job is easier. But if, right, even if you're paying okay. someone by day, you pay them by week. Right? I pay you for this week, which includes Shabbat, but not
but you don't
specifically. You cannot hire... So, by the, so for example, like, let's say a Jewish caterer who hires non-Jewish waiters for an event on Shabbat. Right? How do they pay them?
The end of the week
for Sunday,
or they pay, or but let's say it's only for Shabbat.
Next week Friday.
Let's say it's only for Shabbat. Let's say they only work. It's a one-off deal. How do they deal with
this
it?
This is the rate for the week. Like,
how can they do that? They only work on Shabbat.
Their payday is
good. So what do they do, Lamaisa?
Add Wednesday or
you don't hire them.
No, you hire them to set up on Friday and clean up Motzai Shabbat, and then you pay them for the work they did over the 30 hours.
Oh, interesting.
Right, that's how you do it. Right, that's how we practically do it. No, it's not. It's paying them for everything they did from Friday to Friday through Motzei Shabbos.
Oh, I know also, same thing by us, they do catering.
Correct, and by the way, we use this as well for Bali Kriya. Same thing's true of Jews, right? Even when it's permitted to pay some a Jew to have a job, right, to be a Bal Korei, we pay them for their preparation. That's what we do, right? We say, you're not paid for laning on Shabbat. We say you're paid for preparing.
Is this idea found in the Gemara? Because it seems like it's like a legal fiction.
Correct. It's a legal fiction. That's exactly what it is.
That's unusual.
Correct, but we have these. And so it's called Havla'a. Like I said, these halachot are very practical. That's why I want you to, right? And they are complicated, which is why the Mishnah Berurah has this very helpful summary. He said, "Aval yom Shabbat lechur asur afil basadeh v'gam nitparseim." Okay. So that is the introduction to all the halachot. As like I said, these three simanim are based on this amud and a little bit of Gemara. Okay? So, let us try to tackle some of them.
Are we doing Tosfos?
What?
Are we doing Tosfos?
They're trying to say more, but...
Tosafos. Tosafos, yeah. Can you get me a Ramban?
Sure.
Ramban, I'm a dessert. We have Ramban.
You know very well, it's Ashkenaz.
That's you to do.
No.
Havlah is just the concept of not paying on Shabbat.
Right. Oh, really? Okay. It's like, I know for sure he's Svardi, and I know for sure you're Ashkenaz, and I'm for sure you are
Ashkenaz. Svardi.
It is.
Sephardi.
No, Svardi.
But in Svardi. What's a Svardi? Sephardi.
Yeah, like, Svard just implies I'm from Spain.
Okay. He ain't Miss
Svardi.
Who Miss Svardi? Mi Ploda.
Okay, so my communication and I was mentioning that you were both on that.
No, okay, you gotta. Even then, it's not right, because Miss Svardi in Spain.
Okay, we're missing that one, but that's fine. Not for now, then.
We're missing the one we need.
In Florida.
That's fine. Okay, so good. So now let's get into this, and we will get through as much of this as we can. Okay? So, So the end of the Mishnah had said, right, once we were talking about buying and renting and stuff like that, right, you cannot rent out a bathhouse because it is called by the Jew's name. So the Gemara then adds, Tanya, Rav Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Lo Yisgra Adam Merchatzo Lo V'Tochavim, Mipnei Shenikra Al Shemo, right, you cannot rent out a bathhouse to a non-Jew, because it is called by, on the Jew's name. V'Oved Kochavim, Zeh, Oseh V'Oved Melacha, B'Shabbat Tod, V'Yom Tavim. And the non-Jew is going to work on Shabbos and Yontif, which is, again, permitted from his perspective, but everyone else is going to look at it and say he's working on behalf of the Jew.
It's
Maris Ayin, correct. That is the principle that drives this Gemara. Again, right, the way Mishnah Berurah writes it is that there are two layers here, right? There's what is usher in terms of Melacha b'Shabbat, right? What is usher on a Shabbos level, and what is usher because of Maris Ayin? So the issue here is: look, you have now rented it out. So Mikara din, it is permitted, right? Meaning, in the sense of, is the Jew non-Jew doing it for himself? The answer is yes, and therefore, is a non-Jew allowed to work on Shabbos? Of course, he is. Is a non-Jew allowed to not work on Shabbos? No, he's chayav mita, right? The Gemara says in Sanhedrin. So the Rambam says if he doesn't work on Shabbat, kedei lechadesh dat, right? But according to the Gemara, if a non-Jew keeps Shabbat, l'shem keeping Shabbat is chayav mita, right? So this is not like, it's not just like he can. We fully endorse non-Jews working on Shabbat. That's a good thing. Go ahead, work on Shabbat.
They don't work. They don't work because of their own reason.
I'm saving your life here by you working.
No, they don't work because they want to spend Shabbat reading a book in their bed the entire Saturday and Friday night. There's nothing wrong with that. But if they're doing it because of Shabbat, then that's a problem.
Correct.
I'm saving your life by you working for me. I'm almost
certain no one thinks. Because non-Jews speak Sephardic. I don't know. What do you want from me?
What's happening here,
Avi? Aval Likuti. So then the Gemara says, Aval Likuti. Now this is interesting, right? Likuti my shari. But to a kuti, it will be permitted. Why? Because kuti emar avid be malacha b'chol, sorry, avid be, yeah, Lakuti, it'll be mutter. Why? So the Gemara is going to say because he works on his own behalf. No, sorry, because Lakuti is not going to work on Shabbos and Yantif, right? That's the point of this stage of the Gemara. So the Gemara says Lakuti, Eima Avid Beim Malach B'Chol Shal Moed. But how could it be mutter? The Kuti is going to do work on Chol Moed, which we discussed yesterday. You can't do, and he will do. Why?
Because he doesn't take, he only follows Daraisa.
Daraisa, again, it is open question here whether this is Daraisa, but not explicit in the Torah of Darabanan. The Ron has a discussion here, but we discussed it at length yesterday. So, Amar Avid Bimalach B'chol Shemon B'chol Shemon Anami Avdinon. So, but we also say, under at least under certain circumstances, you can do work on Chol Moed and bathing should be fine. So, Aval Sadeu Lo Vikochavim Mai. But now the Gemara says, what is the implication here? That the prohibition here is only on a merchatz, but not a sadeh, a field. Why? My taima arisei arisudei ka'avid. Because a sharecropper is working for himself, right? Now the Ramban notes, right? That's the key here, right? Obviously, he's working lehana'ato, right? Even if the Jew benefits, the point is once the non-Jew benefits, he's working for himself. So it is mutar.
A field's not mutar.
What do you mean? The non-Jew itself is working for himself.
The non-Jew is working for himself. I mean, what motivates him is
the money
himself, because he's an aris, he gets a percentage, and therefore, even though the Jew makes money off of it,
so would you say that could be correct of him doing that?
I just said,
yes.
You can. Okay. The Gemara just said, aval sadeu lovik. Look inside.
I am
aval. Then why are you asking me? Aval sadeu lovik ochavim my shari a field one zalocha. It is mutar, right? It's mutar. It's allowed. My time, I arisa arisuze kavid. Because he is just doing his sharecropping. So the Gemara says, but merchatz nami amri arise arisuse ka'avid.
Why don't we also say this by merchatz?
Yeah, so the Gemara says, no, arisa de merchatz lo avdi inche. Because
he's not working for himself.
No! No, read the words. Because people don't normally give bathhouses to non-Jews with this monetary contract.
Right.
And therefore, even if they do, and it would be mutter, mekara din, it's also because of?
Maris ayin.
Right? Because of Marit ayin, because it looks wrong.
Do we apply this principle here? This is a discussion, of a Rezar, but slash Shabbos, but is this principle also applied to issues of Nezikin? So, in other words, does bathhouse form an archetype of this status of building so you could extend it to everything that would fit sort of that definition, or does it only apply to bathhouses?
No, that was what the Mishnah Berurah just said, right? Is that this isn't about fields and bathhouses. It's in any given culture.
It's archetypal.
Yeah, exactly, right? And in a culture where if it flipped, if no one ever gave away their field in sharecropping, but they did their merchats, then the halacha would flip.
Fine, okay.
Right? Right? Because, yes, Mariz Ayin is one of those halachot that really does change. Right? Right, obviously. Because if the question is, when are we concerned whether that someone else is going to look and say, you are violating an Isser, the question is, in any given culture, what are we worried about? Right? What are we worried about? Right now, barring those Shita, which I do not agree with, who say that we aren't allowed to add any Isser of Maris Ayin Bezman Azer, anything that wasn't ushered by Chazal, and things like that, don't even get into that, right? But, this is a lot of the discussion post-Kim about,
going into McDonald's.
Or whatever, or fake meat hamburgers, or fake cheese hamburgers, for all I care, right? Cheeseburgers, right?
It's fake bacon, Maris Ayin.
And that's a big question. Most of the postgame said was, when people don't know what you're doing, then it's usher. When it becomes well known, then it's mutter.
Right. Today.
Well, that's the whole.
Hence the question of soy milk in coffee at a fleishik suda. Right.
What wouldn't be a problem?
But it used to be a problem.
You used to have to.
But now it becomes so common now.
That's what I just said. That's why many poskim say that. Other poskim aren't so happy with this, and they think you have to. Certain people don't poskim that way. And if you go to certain meals, right? Have you ever been to a simcha where instead of having the soy milk or the non-dairy creamer in fancy pitchers, which is what you'd expect at a simcha, they have it in the package?
Yeah.
You ever wonder why?
Yeah,
because those are poskim who think that it's not well known enough, it's still Marit Ayin, and therefore you need to have the package there to avoid the Marit Ayin. That's I disagree. I don't think you have to do that, but that's the sheet that those poskim are relying on.
In a very similar situation, what would be the what would be the situation with, let's say last night we had dinner, it was meat, fleishik, and a person didn't eat the dinner and then they wanted to pull out some white chocolate. So they are not fleishik, but it looks like a person had eaten dinner.
So that I think is already fine.
It's my family, because
really?
I'm the only one who doesn't eat
peanuts. Yeah, because here in Yeshiva, you guys know that not everyone eats supper.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. So then the Gemara says, Right, then the Gemara says, Tanya, Rishimin Elazar, Merlo Yaskar, the Mesadeh, Lukuti, Vinigre Shal Shmo. Right, you can't rent out your field to a Kuti because it's called your name. The Kuti Zeos and Malacha Bachol Shamoe. And the Kuti, while he won't do work on Shabbos, will do it on Chalamoe. I will Ovid Kochav in my Share, Dame, Arisuze, Arise, Ovid. So, but a non Jew, we can rent out the field, right? We can, sharecrop the field. Because he's doing his own work. The Gemara says, Ihachi kuti nami. Why not the kuti? So Amri, Aris, Arisus, Ovid. Let him say that he did the Arisus. So the Gemara says, Arisus, Aliri, Shimon, Ben Elazar, Lislay. He says, he does not hold of such things, right? Of this heter of Arisus. El Ovid, Kohavim, my time, Amutter. Damrin, Levit, Sayyid. Right? So Shimon Gamliel, however, does not hold of this, meaning, he thinks that what? That it is usher even by Arisut. He doesn't buy this Svara.
Ah.
Right? Even by sharecropping. Why? Because he'll say, look, at the end of the day, the Jew is benefiting. It's usher. So the Gemara says, wait a second. If he doesn't buy this, then why are you allowed to give it to a non-Jew? Or he doesn't buy that sharecropping is mutter, then why is he allowed to give it to a non-Jew? So why? Because El Ovik over my time a mutter darmin levitzayit. Because the non-Jew, we assume that if you tell him, look, be my sharecropper, and on Shabbos I want you to take a break. I want you to take vacation. We assume the non-Jew would say,
okay,
okay, I'll take a vacation. Kuti lo tzayit. Da'ana gamirna tvei minach. But the Kuti, right, will say, nah, I know halacha better than you. You're just a frumacher, right? Right, you're a frumacher. You think you can't work in Chalamoid, right? No, right?
It's a term I've never heard of.
It's Yiddish. Mm-hmm. Explain it, right?
Please don't.
It's a pejorative for someone who, you know, refers to someone as being overly frum for no reason, right? For an uneducated purposes, right? Like, not just like earlier, but he's saying you're being, right? So the Gemara says, "Iachi my iria of nation nikkred al shemo." The Gemara says, "Wait a second. What's the problem? The real issue here isn't nikkred al shemo. The problem is lifnei iver, right? Tepuglei mishum lifnei iver lositein michshol. The problem is that what
something with the
kuf. That's what we're talking about.
Oh, I thought
so. The Gemara says, "You're right. You're right. That's exactly correct. Right. So you have a fundamental machlokas in the Gemara that the Tanakama holds that arisut." Is only possibly usur because of Marat Ayin. Right? Because of Marat Ayin.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning what? But the Tanakhama thinks that, now let's try to boil it down. According to the Tanakhama, what makes something not considered the shlichut of a Jew? What makes it that it's not considered the Jew? You know.
If it's not Marat Ayin. Wait, yeah.
Oh, that was terrible. Oh my god.
Stab me with the scissors.
Can
I hold those for me?
No. Absolutely not.
So I feel safe.
Right? According to the Tanakhama, right?
Yeah.
Why is it ever potentially usur to do our risut? Because of Marat Ayin. Why? Because according to the Tanakhama, why isn't our risut never intrinsically problematic and only potentially problematic because of Marat Ayin? Because how does he conceptualize? What is it that makes it that it is not the shlichut of the Jew, and rather it's considered the non-Jew doing it for himself?
The fact that non-Jews are only getting a little bear. Oh no, the effort that the person is putting in is for himself.
Meaning, as long as you can explain why the increased effort that the non-Jew puts in is for his benefit, regardless of how much benefit the Jew derives from that effort. Right? You understand the Chiddush of the Tanakhama?
The goal for him is for him. And his
correct.
Family,
right? The Tanakhama defines whether this work is done for a Jew or a non-Jew by what standard?
The effort put into it. The purpose of his effort.
By who's profiting.
Right, I mean, no, not by who's profiting. Ooh. But whether the non-Jew is putting in the effort for himself also. And this is something that we find often in Marat Ayin. Sorry, Marat Ayin in Hilchot Shabbos and Amir Lanachri and Hanami Melechet Goy is that in general we assume that whenever a non-Jew does something for multiple people, one of whom is himself, that blinds him to everything else. Right. So let me give you an example in halacha. Right. We assume la halacha that let's say a non-Jew does turns on a light for a,
I really don't remember. I just did this work once.
A party that's happening on Shabbat. Okay, a luncheon that's happening on Shabbat. Right? So, are you allowed to benefit from that light? So the halacha is, it depends. If it is more than 50% Jewish, the halacha is, no, you cannot benefit. Because then it is considered halachically that he's turning on the light for who?
The Jews.
For the Jews.
Yeah.
But if it's more than 50% not Jewish, then it's fine. What happens if the non-Jew who turns on the light is not the janitor who happens to turn on the light, but is one of the attendees at the meal? Then what's the halacha?
It should be fine.
Correct.
Unless they're Jewish.
No. Yes.
If it's a Jew, it's a problem.
Correct. But if it's a non-Jew, right, so the halacha is, let's say there are 10,000 people at the Suda and they're all Jewish. And they have one guest of honor, and he's a non-Jew. And the non-Jew comes in and says, hey, it's dark. And he turns on the light. Then the halacha is?
That's for his fine.
Right?
That's for
it's
his
fine. Question. Why? Because we assume halacha. Correct. What's different than the 50-50%? Why don't we say, oh, here it's 99.9%?
He's a sociopath. I mean, not literally, but he doesn't care about people.
No, because we assume that everybody, in the end of the day, if they're doing it for a third party, then numbers matter. But if one of the parties that he's doing it for is himself,
right,
fundamentally, I care about me, myself, and I.
Right.
Right? That's three people. Right? Me, myself, and I, and they count more than anybody else. Right? So that's essentially the Tanakhama's position, right? Which is, even if the non-Jew is getting 10% of the produce, right? That's the arrangement in Arisut. Still, halachically, the Jew is allowed to make money off of this. Why? Because it doesn't matter that the non-Jew is only making 10% and the Jew is making 90. Why?
Because it's not...
Because since the non-Jew gets a percentage, he cares about how much money is made. And therefore, when he's thinking, right, I mean, right, psychologically, what is the Tanakhama saying? Look, if the sharecropper says, if I make $1 million this year, then I make $100,000. And if I make $2 million, then I get $200,000. What he's thinking that more than he's thinking, if I make $1 million, the Balabayit makes $900,000. If I make $200,000, he makes $1.8 million.
Would it work the same way if you just said, whatever you make, I get a cut of...
No.
What?
No, that doesn't work that way. Correct. That doesn't work. Right? Well,
meaning like...
If it's non-percentage cut, it doesn't work the same way.
If he asks only for the five...
Remember, that was the third case, right? If I tell him, look, you work for me and you will make $100,000 no matter what happens...
No, not for what he makes, the Jew. The Jew says, I only want the 800 to pay for the field and 100 for
myself. Oh, then Avada, it's mutter.
That he's allowed...
Then for sure it's mutter, correct. That's for sure mutter. Right, for sure. That is not even Havamina, right? If the opposite, where the Jew says, look, pay me $100,000 for the year for the use of my business, right? Whatever money you make is yours. Avada, that's mutter. Barring a Mar Zion problem, right? But Rishim ben Gamliel disagrees. Because Rishim ben Gamliel says, what are you talking about? If it's Arisut, then he's working 10% for himself and 90% for the Jew, right?
Why 90% for the Jew?
Because the Jew is making 90% of the profit, right?
This is a side of the example I gave.
It's not... No, not that one. Back to the case I was saying before. Right? Rishim ben Gamliel in our Gemara says, we don't look at it that way. We don't just say magically, oh, the non-Jew is doing it also for himself and therefore nothing else counts. Right, what does he clearly hold? Right, when the Gemara says, Arisuzu l'Shimon Lisle, he doesn't hold of this heter. Right, because he doesn't conceptualize it this way. He says, no, if a non-Jew is working...
The Jew is still...
He's really working for the Jew. Right, and therefore he osers this. Right, he forbids this. Right? And therefore he says, the only reason why it's mutter to have a sharecropper as a non-Jew is because... You assume that the non-Jew will stop working when you tell him, don't work. Don't work on Shabbos, don't work on Yantif, don't work on Chol Moed. He'll say, fine, great, whatever you want, boss. Right? What you're worried about is the kuti. Right? Now this is unfortunately often a reality, right? That it is, right, this is not a halachic line, this is a description of Metzius. Right? It is often easier, right, you know, one day you will be a, you know, God willing, right, most of you are not going to Chinuch, so you'll work with other people who are not Jews, right? So you'll be invited to some business meeting or whatever, and
Christmas
you're... No, don't go to a Christmas party. Whoa. No, I'm just saying a meeting. And your non-Jewish boss will say, look, I want everyone to be able to eat, you know, we're having a meeting and I'm ordering dinner for everybody, right? And he'll say, where can I order dinner from you? And he'll say, look, these are... you know, look on the restaurants, and if it has any of these symbols, and you'll give him 5 hechsherim that you trust, right? If you order from there, then it's fine, right? And he'll ask you very nicely, and he'll say, well, you know, if we get it in advance, how do we heat it up for you? And you'll say, double wrap it, you'll say whatever, and they'll do everything you want.
This seems like I feel way like over complicated. Just say, don't get me anything, I'll bring my own.
Or whatever. No, but sometimes they're very nice. Yeah, they're, or they're just ordering cookies, uh-huh. Right? I'm getting cookies just for this, for the... Whatever it is, right? For the staff meeting, or just for the.
Seems so complicated.
Well, no, it's really easy.
It's not too easy.
But they offer to get
green chicken. You shut
okay.
There.
Efraim, if they want, you'll see, right? Often, non-Jews are much more amenable than not from Jews, right? Right, especially non-Orthodox Jews who keep some form of kashrus, right? That's like the worst, right? Often. Why? Because, what do you mean? I have my own standard of kashrus. I know what kashrus is. I don't want your standard of kashrus. Wait, why are you so machmir? Right? That's often the worst problem. Right? Is, oh, look at this person. Oh, he wants...
He wants
He's Machpel and Chol of Yisrael. My kosher food is not good enough for him. I'm not Machpel and
Chol. As opposed to Chol of Akum, which is awesome.
Chol of Yisrael and the whatever, you know? Yes, that you know my position on this, that Rav Moshe is Chol of Yisrael. Yes, correct.
Isn't it clearly
I know.
In Rav Moshe saying?
Correct, okay. It is what Rav Moshe says. But whatever, he'll say, oh, you, this Heksher is not good at you. This is not true of anybody here. You only hold of Badatz and Chassam Sofer, but what, the Rabbanut Mehadron isn't good enough for you?
Rabbi,
right?
No, there's a problem with them. Things with Rabbanuts.
They're all free, and then what is it?
Okay, this is exactly the problem.
No,
this is punk the problem.
Yeah, no, I promise.
You are the problem here. Get out.
Rabbi, I'm going to take these out of your reach.
This is punk the problem, no. Right? What's the Gemara saying? Gemara saying, look. The non-Jew is going to say, I don't know your religion, I don't know your things, you tell me not to work because you don't want me to work? Okay, boss. You tell me to work? Okay, boss. When you're talking with someone else who considers themselves observant in the same religion you are, right? What?
Except they are. Well, you said to themselves they feel
observant. No, they are observant within your religion, right?
Okay.
Right? Meaning, you are both view yourselves as observing the Jewish tradition. Right, that's what the kuti is.
Yeah.
Right, the kuti is a frum kuti. Right, he has his own shitot. Right, that is much harder. Right, because they will always say. Right, there's always the bigger danger that they'll say ana gemirna tveminach. Right, which is I know more than you. Right, or I understand the Jewish tradition more than you. Right, trust me. Right, or in case of other people who keep kashrus but don't hold the same standard as you. I keep kosher. What, it's not good enough for him? I'll just get whatever.
Shagets.
What?
Shagets.
No, not shagets. Fromacher. Right? Fromacher. Right? So the Gemara is saying that that the kuti, that's the fear, right? That you'll tell the kuti, don't work on Chol HaMoed. And he'll say, that's not a real halacha. Not working in Chol HaMoed. Pah.
Well, you just tell him I'm not going to pay you. You won't get paid for it if you do it. Then...
No, because sometimes they will go out of their way to do it. To show people do this. I'm not saying everybody. Right? I want to make this clear. I'm not saying that all people of a different standard of kashrus than you are bad people. I'm saying that this is always a reality. By the way, right? It takes a tremendous amount of koach on anybody's part. Right? This is not just like orthodox, not orthodox. Right? Or you know, Shomer Kashrus of one stand to another. Right, this is like true of...
I'm working my way to...
Right, this is true within Orthodoxy, right? You know, like, it's like... You know, like, I have those moments where I think that people are coming and they have some chumrah and I think it's ridiculous. And, like, I have a Yetzer Hara to just say, right? You know, my Yetzer Hara tells me, look, I know the halacha, I have a shita, I'm obviously correct, right? They're obviously wrong, right? Why should I accommodate them, right? But that's a Yetzer Hara. You shouldn't do that, right? Mm-hmm. You should respect people, right? And if they say, right, look, I only eat, you know, look, sometimes it's making me angry. Yes, it's like people from, you know, it's like certain people, there's a Heksher that I really like.
You've had people that, like, eat the knots that come to your house?
No, there's a certain Heksher, for example, that I really like. Right, I even think is an excellent Heksher. Better than most of the other Heksher. Rav Machbud, yeah. Right? Rav Machbud. Rav Machbud is a... But a lot of Yeshivish people are like, oh, I don't eat Rav Machbud. I only eat Padats, right?
What do you think about Rav Lando?
And it's like, that's crazy, because Rav Machbud is an excellent...
What do you think about Rav Lando?
Because, but Rav Machbud is an excellent, excellent Temani Shochet. I think he's Temani, right? And he's an excellent, excellent Shochet. And I think he's better than a lot of the Haredi Hecherim, right?
He's not Temani Machbud.
Okay.
Moroccan.
I don't know. The point is, right? The point is that I also feel myself getting upset, but I wouldn't tell someone this is right. But I wouldn't.
I have a
guys. But the point is that I would have a Yetzer Hara, which I would never do, which is to tell them, yes, it's Badas Beit Yosef Sheiris Chassam Sefer, whatever. When it's Machbud, right? Because I have a taiva to say Ana Gemirna Tveminach, right? I know better. Right?
Well, I
wouldn't do it. I want to say this on record. I wouldn't do such a thing because that's an unethical thing to do. Right? It's an unethical thing to do. Okay.
You'd have to accompany to it. My family will follow by OU, but my uncle Correct. Strict about it, so we have to be extra careful.
Correct, but when you yourself are from, and right, there's a much bigger taiva to say.
You didn't know Rabbi Shlomo Machpud?
I believe
his first name.
That isn't a problem for you.
Anyways.
I know, I'm saying, because you always say, like, it's fine, like, other people
okay.
Actually have to be careful.
So, guys, I, you know, with that sheer going overboard, it was very nice. Went over time, not his fault, he was very good, right? Mati's fault, totally Mati's fault. Mati Nyaka's fault. So we didn't get so far on the Gemara, but I hope at least the issues here are a bit clearer, right? And the issues that we have to discuss. Now what you'll see, right, is you see that big Tosfos in Arisa Arisuze Kaveh, just to set you up, because how much of the Tosfos do you actually get through?
Just the first one.
Okay, so let me read you the first line so that you understand what it's talking about, okay? And now let me frame it based on what we've done, or we haven't done too much. But he says, Pasak Rabbeinu Tam Alocha Kiresh Vimna Gamliel Da'amar Yisusar Yisusay Kavit Mitoch Kach Hitir Li Yisrael Shanazan Beitzel Lasosu Bekablonos. Right, we can say, what is the discussion here is did I misunderstand from Gamaliel? Right. Okay. Did I get this wrong? That Rabbi Tam holds that. Really, I got that right. Right. This is. I may have misspoken, but I got this right. Meaning the Tanakama here is Rabbi Shimon ben Gamaliel. The second Shita is Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Maybe I verbalized that wrong, but
I didn't write their names either.
Okay, doesn't matter. Right. The point is that there are two positions here about whether we can be mater arisus, right?
Right.
And the question is, how do we paskin? So that long tosus here, arisus arisus gavid, is the question of how do we paskin? Right? Pasuk Rabbi Tam Alocha Kiresh Shimon Gamliel Dom arisus arisus gavid Mitochah Hit Leishrosh Nasan Beso Sozo Bekablonos Livnos Bo Afil B'Shabbos. Now, what do we derive from arisus? Rabbi Tam makes the move from arisus to kablonos, so it's kablonos. Contract work. What's contract work? I hire you by job.
Building a house.
Right? And Rabbeinu Tam says, if we paskin that kablonos, that arisus is mutter, so kavachomer we paskin that
kablonos
is mutter. Right? Where I hire the guy and they say, look, here's a task, do it whenever you want. Because
on Shabbos, it's for you.
Because it's by contract.
Correct? But this works only according to Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, but it might not work according to Rav Shimon ben Elazar, depending on how you understand Rav Shimon ben Elazar. Because Rav Shimon ben Elazar said Arisa doesn't work, is that because he thinks that, look, for the 90% that the Jew is getting, he's working for the Jew, or is he saying that we forbid any work to be done on Shabbos for a Jew, you know, no matter what? Right?
Right.
Right? And that's what this big tosis is about, is which shita do we hold like, Rav Shimon ben Gamliel or Rav Shimon ben Elazar? Right, the Tanakama or Rav Shimon ben Elazar, and what is the implications for other areas of Shabbos. But I hope now at least you've gotten the principles down, right? That's what's at play, right? Constantly in play in this Gemara is two levels, right? Maris Ayin, but before you get to Maris Ayin is the question of who is this work considered to be done for, okay? Again, this is going to be a very textual sugya because you really need to, right? You really need to break through your teeth over these tosafim. Nachum's like, no, I don't want to break my teeth on the Tosafim. Give me a summary and we'll move on. No. Right? No, you will suffer through the Tosafim.
Thank God.
Thank God you'll suffer. Baruch Hashem. But I think we're over time and question answer. Ruchem, I was giving question answer, so I should not go over time. So we'll continue. But really, try to break your teeth on this. Try to read the Ramban if you can. If you need the Ritva, the Ritva is a bit clearer. Basically, go through as many Rishonim as you can. And I'm going to try to at least get the basic halacha, but the principles are pretty simple. It's the application and all the different factors that get a little bit dizzying.
Okay? I don't really